Hello, beautiful people. Thank you so much for tuning in. Before we start this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could please follow or subscribe to us on your preferred podcasting platform and leave us a rating or review. Thank you so much and hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to Unapologetically Asian, the place where we talk about navigating through adulthood as Asian Australians. Today, you're joined by Twee,
Tiana,
and Stern.
Hey guys, hope you're doing very well today. As you may have heard from our intro, we are joined by a very special guest. We're joined by the amazing Stern. Welcome to the show, girl.
Thank you.
How did we meet each other? Stern, you slid into our DMs one day.
Yeah, you know, like the modern dating way. So, you know, just kind of like look at her profile and just slid into her DMs.
No, we got a really cute message from Stern on our Instagram page one day, and we're like, oh, who's this? And for it's funny story, because like for the longest time we wasn't sure exactly what your name was, because I've never come across the name Stern before. I was talking to Tiana about you. We kept on referring to you as Mecca because you told us you used to work at Mecca. And yeah, that was your name for a solid like week or so. And then I was like, you know what, let's just ask her what exactly her name is. And then
that's the thing, it's so funny because like it says my name on the Instagram bio, but I guess because it doesn't sound like a name, people do ask me and they're like, hey, what's your actual real name? And I was like, it's actually Stern with an E at the end. But no, don't worry about it. Like, people get confused and people don't really remember my name. So
can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Stern?
So my name is Stern and I currently live in Sydney and I am 27, quite old. But yeah, no. I don't look like it, but I am 27, unfortunately. But yeah, so I used to work at Mecca. You know, skincare is always something that's so close to my heart. I'm so glad that I stumbled across this beautiful Instagram of these lovely ladies. And, you know, I saw like, you know, like it just seems like, you know, they're so passionate with what they do and I kind of wanted to contribute. And, you know, I miss talking about skincare because I used to talk about it every day. So I just thought, you know, hey, why not? Maybe like I should link up with these girls. And it's also good to see like how, you know, people are starting to raise awareness and about the whole Asian thing, you know, because I wasn't born here. I was born in Indonesia, grew up here though. But sometimes you just feel like, am I the only one who feel this way about certain things? You know, we had no platform to talk about it, but lucky with the whole internet thing now, everyone's, you know, starting to talk about it. So I'm very happy. And I hope that, you know, everyone's listening to your podcast because you guys definitely have some really interesting topics. But yeah, for today, we will talk about skincare. But if you do have any further question, you can send me a DM or send the girls DM. But my Instagram is gettingsterny. It's getting, the normal getting, and then Sternie. Thank you. I hope you enjoy.
Thank you so much for that. That really makes us so happy to hear. And thank you so much again for being on the show. We're so excited to have you here. As Stern said, on the show today, we are going to be talking all about skincare and beauty. So some of the topics that we wanted to really cover are Korean beauty. We also wanted to cover the differences between the Asian and Western beauty standards. And also we just wanted to ask Stern all of those skincare questions that we've been itching to ask someone. So yeah, let's start off with, what was your journey like through skincare and beauty, Stern?
Yeah, so basically when I was younger, I didn't really understand anything about skincare and everything, and my skin was really, really bad. Honestly, I think I started at drugstore.
Oh, didn't we all?
Yeah, and then I looked, because we don't know who to ask, and we just kind of like picked and choose what's popular. I don't know if Googling was a thing back then. So there's definitely a lack of resources back then as well, in terms of getting our knowledge about it. So I think I was just always like asking my high school friend, like, hey, what do you use? But then I think when you were younger back then, no one really talked about it. So literally I started with like some random brands, and then I realized like, yeah, it does help my skin with certain things, but it doesn't really improve it to the way I want it to be. Mm-hmm. And then as I grew older, I realized like, hey, there's this Mecca, there's Sephora, there's other brands out there. But then I was always looking at the wrong brand. Like, it was just always about hydration, but never really improved my problem because everyone has their own problem with their skincare. And back then mine was like acne and scarring. And then I still didn't know anything about skincare. And then one time my friend was like to me, hey, like, you speak so many languages. We're looking to hire at Mecca. And then I was like, okay, sure. Like, I'll go for an interview. And oh my God, I flunked the interview so bad. Like, the manager was asking me, what was your favorite brand from Mecca? And I didn't know what Mecca was. And I was just like, you know, the brand, the green one with a tree, like something natural. And she was like, you mean Origins? And I was like, yeah, that one. And I only used like their face wash back then. That's all I knew. And then I thought to myself, I'm not going to get the job. Oh my God. But she gave me a call back and I was like, are you okay? Like, where am I hired? But yeah, since then.
Obviously you didn't flunk it.
No, like, I don't know. I think she gave me the benefit of the doubt because back then I really didn't know what it was. And they gave me a lot of like resources and material. And then I started doing my own research because I wanted to do it for me and for other people as well.
That's awesome. It just boosts your confidence in general.
It's really empowering, I feel.
We've all been there before. And I think it takes them a while to like, hey, I actually want to go and I want to do something about my skin. Because back then I would definitely, I used to cry about my skin because it was really, really bad. I have like huge zits on my face. And it's just everything, you know, you don't know what to do. You don't know how to take the first step. So it's really great that you can help people with that.
That is so amazing. It seems like you're so passionate about it. And yeah, we can really see that even though we're recording remotely, we can really see that passion radiate from you.
Thank you.
So Sen, something that has been growing in popularity over the last couple of years and has made its way over to the Western world is Korean beauty, also known as K-beauty. And everyone is getting onto it. You know, we've heard a lot about this 9-step routine and how it's very regimented. Can you please tell us, how do we get onto this?
Yeah, so basically they believe in layering. And their process takes obviously like 10, 11, like some people do 7 and they stick to it. So it's whatever you're comfortable with. Firstly, you start with cleansing. So I personally always double cleanse. It's oil cleanser, balm cleanser. They do oil cleanser and then they do foam or cream cleanser. So with the oil cleanser, you want to melt your makeup off. So you do it on your dry face and then you melt everything off. And there are still some residue on your makeup after. So that's when they go in using foam and or cream cleanser, depending on what skin type you are. Yeah. And then you go in with a toner. So it depends. There's a lot of different type of toners. There's toners that you want to remove with a cotton pad, like, you know, to get away all the dust and the remaining as well. But there's ones that you can just pat in your face, similar to Essence, but they're formulated differently.
What exactly does toner do? Because I've always seen, you know, toner in the shop, but I've never actually known what it actually does. Like, I know it's a very thin liquid that you apply on your face. I've heard things like, you know, it helps with your pH levels, or some people like, oh, it helps remove the rest of your makeup off. But what does it actually do?
So it depends on which one you get. But with the Korean toner, these are typically the ones that you leave on your face. So they have a lot of different ingredients, depend on your main focus. That's why I think a lot of brands have different range. So let's just say, for example, they're really big with their, you know, if you've seen AHA, BHA. So they normally put that in a toner as well. AHA, BHA, it's an ingredient that's good for your skin. It's got your acids as well. Now, when I say acid, it doesn't sound as scary as it is. AHA and BHA really helps with a lot of things like pores, anti-aging.
Have you guys ever heard of there was like a fad going around Korea a few years ago where the idea was to put on toner like 7 times or something, and that was your whole skincare routine. Like, you'd wash your face.
What?
And then you'll just put one layer of toner on, let it sit, another layer, and do that 7 times. And I'm just thinking, is that effective? Like, people were actually doing it, and apparently it did work for some.
Oh my God. I think it depends what you want your skincare to do for your skin, because we always say at Mecca, like, your skincare is personalized.
Yeah, there's like no one size fits all.
Yeah, that's true. So Essence and Emulsion comes next after toner. So with Essence, it is like a, it is a lighter version of like a lighter version of serum. So this is where people get confused, because with Koreans, they do have Essence, but Essence is essentially a bit thicker than toner. And then you've got your ampoule serum. Ampoule serum, I really highly recommend for people to really invest in it, just because the way the lab formulate the serum, it's really, really complicated. And that's what's more expensive, because with serums, it's able to reach the deepest layer of your skin. So if you were tossing between, hey, I want to cut my skincare routine to four. I don't want emulsion, essence, whatever. Serum is the one that I'll go for.
You mentioned emulsion. So emulsion and serum, is that the same thing? Sorry?
So emulsion is a bit... I know, there's so many.
To make it more complicated.
I know. But hey, you don't have to follow all 10. Like, this is just what they like to do. And when you enjoy doing it, it doesn't feel like a chore to you.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it because I feel like putting my skincare on has become a bit of a self-care, self-love routine.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, you know, you've had a busy work day and you're just, like, washing everything off and giving yourself a bit of love. And it feels good, you know? You're going to sleep with a bit of nice cream on your face.
When you go to sleep overnight, you lose like a lot of moisture on your face.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nice to just slap something on your face. I sometimes sleep with a sheet mask on if I'm really, really tired. I know Koreans use sheet masks almost every day.
The way I kind of look at masks is like kind of a treat yourself moment. I don't do it every day. It's more like, you know, every now and then when I'm like, I want to treat myself or I want to have a chill night with my girlfriends or whatever, then we'll slap on a face mask.
Yes, totally. It becomes like an activity that you do. But yeah, and then you have the eye cream next and then you've got the moisturizer and you get the sunscreen. I personally put my eye cream whenever, like after cleansing, because you're not meant to put any makeup or any, except concealer, any like moisturizer for your face on your eye anyway, because your eye is like really, really thin.
Really?
Yeah, so your eye.
Oh,
oh my god, have you guys been doing that?
Really? So no like general moisturizer on your like eye bag areas?
I wouldn't recommend it because your eye is very, very thin. Avoid your eye area unless it's specified, like you can use this as an eye cream as well. What have you guys been putting on your eye? Please tell me.
No, I've just been putting like moisturizer. Like I put moisturizer everywhere on my face. Or if I was to slap on toner or any other skincare routine, I wouldn't like specifically target my under eye area. But like if it happens to touch it, then, you know, it does, if that makes sense. Like I'll be patting my face and patting all around. And like I'd even like close my eyes and just like.
Yeah. And I think with moisturizer is probably not as bad as toner. Technically, let's just say some ingredients will exfoliate your face. And that being said, it kind of like it will eat away your dead skin cells. That's when we always say, please use sunscreen with this product because, you know, you're just doing something to your skin. It's growing again. You don't want to like burn it in the sun. So imagine if you put that ingredient around your eye area is already so delicate and so thin. Like, you know, you'll probably just age a little bit or, you know, it just becomes thinner. But it's nothing, I guess, not too severe, especially if you can't even tell the difference because everyone's skin is different.
Mm.
Why do we look to Korea, you think, for beauty advice other than like their amazing looking skin?
Yeah, like what's Korean beauty from Western beauty?
I think with the skincare, they realize that, you know, they aim for that perfect glass skin because they want to look young and keep looking young. You know, they are the ones that invented BB cream and then like Western brand got the license or something. So that's when I think they turn around and say there's a lot out there that we haven't discovered. I think they look at it now in a different way just because I think they're starting to know the worth of it. I think the proof actually comes from K-pop. Hey, they see like all these amazing girls having beautiful skin. You know, K-pop is booming and that literally drives the world crazy as well. They have a lot of influence, including with the skincare.
It's crazy how you mentioned that K-pop has had such a cultural impact on not just the music industry, but also, you know, the beauty industry in fashion. It just trickles down.
Definitely.
I was just also going to ask, so you know how like with the Korean skincare routine, there's like 9 steps, 10 steps, you know, maybe 11 or 12. I was just wondering, say we don't have the time or we don't have the money to invest in so many different products, what are the core essentials that we need for a good skin routine or like the basic skin routine? Like at the moment, I'm personally using cleanser and then I go into a toner and then a serum and then I moisturize. But what do you think is like the basic starter pack for everyone at home?
Okay, so I feel like you had a really good one. Like that 4-5 is really good because if I were to cut it really, really short, oh, this is really hard. No, cleanser, serum, moisturizer, and sunscreen. Fun fact, if you don't wear sunscreen for one day, your skin ages 20-something days. Just think about that. Think about that.
Question. So sunscreen, right? What if you don't leave the house? Do you still have to put it on?
No, still. You get the blue light. Even if it's in next to your window and then the sun's coming in, that's the same. UV light, like blue light. Looking at our phones and laptops right now, that's aging our skin. That's why they have blue light glasses. I know, it's crazy, but I feel like I'm going to freak people out now. But yeah, no, like, please try to wear sunscreen, even if you can, especially in Australia. Like, our ozone is just, you know, very, very thin. We don't have much protection. That's why you get sunburned so fast. But if you look at other brands like La Roche-Posay as well, they have an amazing 50-plus one that's pretty thin. Or I used to use Natio, and I don't see the problem with that. It's actually not bad.
Speaking of sun, if we were moving on to the Asian versus Western beauty standards, I feel like we can see that there's this clear distinction to what is considered beautiful or the idea beauty in the Western world and in Asian society. In Australia, everyone wants to be tan. I remember when I was younger, like, going into high school, everyone would, you know, on the holidays when they go to their beach house, they want to come back and looking that bronzed skin glowing from within kind of look, versus in Asian society, everyone wants to look white.
Yeah.
Whenever I went to the beach, I would want to like wear my bathers and just like walk out. And my parents and my grandma would always say to me, you know, it's really sunny. You should like really cover up. Maybe like wear a jacket, maybe wear like a hat, maybe wear something long sleeved, even if it's like a 30, 40 degree day.
Literally.
But it's all to get that really fair skin. And they would always say, oh, you don't want to look too burnt. You don't want to look too dark. Yeah, where do you think this comes from?
I think with the, you know, like the Western, like you said, they want to look tan. It's just same like a social status thing. They want to come back looking like they just come back from like Greece, from like a beautiful holiday. Being tan, like you see a lot of bodybuilders spray tan before competition because it really tones their body. It gives, you know, like that exotic, like kind of a sexy, you know. And while being pale is like, oh, you know, you've been indoor, like they associated with being unhealthy. While you know, you're tan, you look a bit more alive because you got more color, because you know, melanin, like you got more color, and then that's when they're like, yeah, you look more alive, you look more healthy. From Southeast Asia or like other Asian countries, when you're dark, it means that you're being outside, you know, you don't have that luxury to stay inside, and you know, everyone wants to be lighter because they think it looks better, it looks cleaner. But hey, like, you know, I think everyone should just embrace, you know, whatever they're like. You know, if you look good with tan skin, go for it. I think they're both still good. They're both still skin.
It's such an interesting point that, like, it just seems like our skin is associated with the social class. If you are in a Western society, it's so true what you said. You know, you kind of want to look like you've just come on from a holiday. You've just been basking in the sun. Versus, like, Asia, it's kind of like, well, if you've been outdoors all day, it means that you work really hard outside. So, yeah, holy shit, I never really thought of it like
they're
that.
Such polar opposites. Whenever I'm out in the sun, especially if I go to the beach or whatnot, I always like slip, slop, slap that fucking sunscreen on. I always cover up. Like, I don't wear like long sleeves and stuff, but at the minimum, I always have to have sunscreen.
I think it's really important to you because, you know, imagine the damage you can do to your skin. And then, you know, when like the sun is a bit, oh, is it in? Is it out? Is it not? Like, it's a bit cloudy, but I don't know. It's like, you know, at that point, like when you're in a car and you don't know when, like, should I put my sunnies on or not? That's when the UV is actually worse than an actual sun. It's doubled intensity. Honestly, like when in doubt, just look stupid and wear your sunnies and just put your sunscreen on anyway. So when it's sunny and cloudy, just do it.
I'm like sitting right next to my window right now and it's like, I don't have any sunscreen on. Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. That's actually fucking crazy. Yeah, I never put sunscreen on unless, like, I'm going outside or something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, some people still don't do it, I guess, if you don't go outside. But it's up to you. Whatever you're comfortable with. Everyone's skin is different. Everyone's aging differently. So if you're feeling fine, then just embrace it.
Yeah, I think if there's, like, one key takeaway from this entire episode, it's that SPF is important, guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, you go out there, you slip, slop, slap, okay? Whether you're inside or outside.
Live in that shit. Oh, question. If I do wear sunscreen, I apply it once in the morning. Is that enough to last me the whole day or do I have to constantly reapply?
So technically you're meant to reapply every 4 hours, but let's be real, who applies every 4 hours? And especially with girls, like you're wearing makeup, like it's just really hard. So technically, yeah, you're meant to reapply, but unless you're like going out outside again, then I don't see the need to reapply because I know that I never reapplied. When you go to a club, please do not wear your sunscreen. Do not wear products with SPF. Ladies, I'm telling you right now, if you're going to the club and you're going to get your photos taken, do not wear anything with SPF. Like, yeah, when you take your selfie, it's fine, but have you seen those photos of girls who...
Fucking Flashback Mary.
Yeah, like a Flashback Mary. So their neck looks so normal and then their face just looks white.
Is that a saying?
I don't know exactly what it means, but, you know, they use it when there's a photo being taken and you come out looking like fucking white as shit.
Ah, okay.
To them, they might be wearing like a normal color, but then because that product has SPF and then the photography has flash, they look really pale. Like it looks white or like washes out. So that's what flashback is. Don't be scared if it's just a phone thing. It wouldn't be so obvious, but professional photography, you definitely don't want to use SPF. When you go out at night, yeah.
Been there, done that.
It's embarrassing. We've learned the hard way. I was just going to ask as well, for people that have like very sensitive skin, is there any type of ingredients that we should be looking out for?
So normally when people walk in and they say my skin is sensitive, to be honest, often it's not their first time. It's not their first rodeo. They already know what to avoid. But then we do ask as well, like, have you tried this? And they're like, no, but last time I tried this, I broke out, la, la, la. And I think for me, personally, I know my skin is sensitive, but I just know that some brands don't work for me. And I kind of know what to avoid now. So, like, right now, I can't really use a lot of complicated things. So, things that contains a lot of oils, my skin doesn't like it. I find that a lot of the Asian skin, different type of oil, it doesn't really take in well. I think it just ended up blocking pores. So I think a lot of people who's got pores issue, you want to be looking at different types of oil. Like oils are still great for oily skin, don't get me wrong, because you still need it. But I feel like I avoid makeup that has a lot of oils and then just use a normal oil-based skincare. Cleansing oil is fine. My skin loves it. But if you're feeling sensitive, maybe start from the beginning. Don't use anything that's too strong for your skin. So you want to avoid strong lactic acid, salicylic acid, AHA, BHA. Avoid it first. So gentle exfoliation from the beginning as well, because often when you have sensitive skin, when you're exfoliating, you're going to remove too much and you're going to damage your skin more than fixing it.
What are your thoughts on exfoliants with grains in them, or like a sugar exfoliant or something like that? Would you prefer chemical exfoliant or one that has like physical properties in it?
Physical and chemical exfoliants are different. Physical is the one that, you know, with the hard grainy stuff. Who's here ever used St. Ives apricot scrub?
Oh my god, I used to use that. The grains used to get stuck in my eye and I had to go to the optometrist a few times to get it out.
Oh my god.
So physical and chemical exfoliation are different. With chemical, let's just say the easier way to put it, it's with chemical, you know how it's like liquidy? That is good to combat something that's underneath. So for example, like blackheads and whiteheads, you know, with blackheads you can see it, with whiteheads it's underneath. So if you feel like you're congested, it's bumps, but the bumps are not showing, chances are you are needing that chemical exfoliation. So you put that on and it will work its way through inside the skin to the deepest layer, and it will clean it from inside out. While with physical exfoliant, they're completely different things. That is for like if you've got a huge pores and, you know, you can feel it that something's here. That's when you need to like...
We all just touched like, our noses.
That's when you need to physical exfoliate it to remove it from the top. And then once that's done, I normally go from underneath or other way. But I feel like they are both great. And you can't, you know, use one or the other. You kind of need both. And depends on how, you know, how much you want to spend and how much, you know, a fan of skincare you are. I feel like they both do completely different things.
How often do you recommend to use exfoliants per week?
So for me, I have literally haven't used physical for the longest time, but I do pretty hardcore with my chemical. So a lot of the things that I have right now on my table, they have some kind of like an chemical exfoliant to it. If you're new, maybe do once a week and then twice a week. It does take time, but I would do more than three times a week.
So I noticed in Asia, a lot of people are very interested in changing their eye color, not permanently. I don't know if that's a thing, but using colored contacts. So especially when I went to Korea, they have stores, like for example, Olens, which is massive chain in Korea, that are just dedicated to colored contacts. A lot of the people in the K-pop industry use it. It's promoted heaps. So many different styles of eye contacts out there. Like, why do you reckon this is a thing? Why do people want to change their eye color? I mean, it's fun, you know, mixing up a little bit. But do you reckon that has anything to do with wanting to appear a certain way, more Western or Caucasian or whatnot?
Yeah, I think definitely it is coming from, like, them trying to follow, like, the Western standard of beauty. Like, you know, big eyes. You know, like, there's always that saying, like, people want something they can't have. I reckon it comes from that as well. Like, you know, they look at, you know, because before K-pop, it's Hollywood. Everyone wanted to make it into Hollywood. You'll get, like, your blonde bombshell with clear blue eyes, with big eyes and high nose. So I guess, you know, that's the beauty standard has come to that. They want to have, like, smaller jaw, taller nose, big eyes, blue eyes. And they kind of combine it to their own beauty standard, that but being pale. So, like, I think that's when they come in, you know, they want to have this long, luscious hair. They're starting to dye their hair a different color, including me. And then, you know, just because they probably think it's going to complement the rest of their body as well, and also wear color contacts as well. Blue eyes are they're mesmerizing, like, they're beautiful. I think for them as well, they love their photos, they love their selfies, and I must say, like, it photographs pretty well when you have, like, contacts. Like, your eyes look bigger.
No, but it's so true, though, because we've grown up in Australia, I've always had this kind of feeling where it's like, oh, nah, my eyes look too small in the photo. Like, oh my God. I mean, this was back then, and now I've learned to, like, embrace it, and, you know, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, I'm Asian, that's who I am. Like, you know, love me for who I am, bitch. But, like, back then, I remember I would just think to myself, oh, I wish my eyes were bigger. And then when you think about it, we were so influenced by the media, we're so influenced by, you know, what society perpetuates as the ideal beauty standard. And that's kind of why we want to, you know, smile with our eyes open a bit bigger. And these, because I know some of these contact lenses are not just altering the color, it doesn't, it, like, some of them are like circle ones that make your eyes look bigger.
Yeah.
That's a thing, yeah.
The diameter are bigger, and then it's kind of like covering the white part of your eye.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it makes it the illusion of being bigger. So they do that, and then, you know, they do like the wing liner, and then they do everything, you know, to do it a bit more dramatic to kind of open up their eye. Yeah, so that I remember wearing it, and I just look, I don't know, I look really young though, to be honest. Those circle lenses make you look like a doll, like young-ish.
Yeah.
So I think that's another reason that they love it, because they love looking young.
Mm.
But yeah, it does make your eyes bigger as well.
Yeah, and like even long eyelashes opens up your eyes and makes your eyes pop. It's such a big thing in Asia, wanting to have bigger eyes. So people actually go and have eyelid surgery. Like, that's a thing, like a massive thing. A lot of people actually get it as a graduation gift from their parents, like the surgery itself.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so in Asia, most of us have monolids, right? So with this double eyelid stuff, because I know there's also tape, right?
Yeah.
So can you train your eye to, like, have that double eyelid, or, like, how does the tape work?
One of my friend did that. So she puts the tape on every day, and then one day she just ripped the tape off and she didn't wear it, and then her lid stayed double.
Growing up, one of my eyelids was, they were uneven, so one of them had a tiny bit of a, like, a lid, and the other one didn't have one at all. And sometimes on a blessed day, I'd wake up and suddenly that one eye would have a lid. And it'll, like, even it out, and I'll be like, wow, today's a good fucking day. And sometimes it lasts for, like, an hour, sometimes it lasts 2 hours, sometimes it lasts all day. So I noticed, like, that used to happen in heaps, and I became very self-conscious about it. So on the days where I would get that double eyelid, I'll try to maintain it as much as possible by kind of stretching my eyelid upwards. So if I...
No way.
Yeah, I'd literally, like, put my index finger on my eyelid and lift it up for, like, 10, 20, 15 minutes at a time in intervals so that it would stay like that. Like, I've trained my eye to maintain the eyelid. Like, if you look very closely, they're not even, but it used to be a lot more uneven.
Toy, wow, what a hack.
Yeah, it's like not having to get surgery. Just do it with your, you know, do it with your own hands.
Oh my God, like I think my eyes aren't big enough. I wanted to get surgery, but I'm actually scared of needles and knives, so I don't know if I could do it.
Mm. I'm afraid of the stigma behind it, to be honest. I'll definitely feel a lot more confident having the eyelid surgery, but knowing that a lot of my friends know what I look like now, and if I was to get the surgery, I'm so worried of the judgment that I would receive. Even though it's so common in Asia and stuff like that, it's not as common here. Anyway, that was a good talk. We covered heaps there. Okay, so moving on to the next segment is our recommendations, where we recommend things that we've been interested in, TV shows, movies, books, anything that has been keeping us sane during COVID or just in general. Without further ado, let's get started. Tiana, what is your recommendation for today?
Yes, so today I'm going to be recommending something that is on theme with today's episode, and that is Mish's Time Revolution Brightening Care Oil Cleansing Balm. Now, that is a bit of a mouthful, but this, I swear, this stuff, it feels so good on your skin. So before, Stern, you touched on that whole idea of double cleansing, right? So I haven't worn makeup in a long time, but when I do, I've now tried to adopt more of the double cleansing routine rather than just using a makeup wipe. Because to be honest, back in the day, I would just use a makeup wipe because it was easy, right? You just slap it out, boom, it's off. But then I could see that it was drying out my skin. So using this, it's really soft on your skin. It literally melts everything off, and then you go in with your foam or your cleanser, and it just feels really, really good. So I actually stole this from my mum. But yeah, it's awesome. Definitely recommend it. So what about you, Stern? What are you recommending this week?
Today, I'm going to try to go with the theme as well. And of course, because it's winter, you know, my skin and everybody's skin's going to be a bit dry. And I have a pretty sensitive skin, and I know me and my best friend Jane, she uses this as well. So this product is called Rovectin Skin Essentials Activating Treatment Lotion. So the brand's called Rovectin. I guess it's not a common brand that everybody knows, but it's great. Like, you can find it in, I think, online stores now, like Adore Beauty, Circle Glam, whatever. It's similar to like after toner. It's kind of like before your serum, or if you just want to use it, sometimes I just use this and my moisturizer. And I like it because, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed, but Centella Asiatica as an ingredient, it's booming. So that's like a really healing plant that repairs your skin cells. Now, this baby has a lot of really nice ingredients in it. I'm not going to go into really technical, but this brand is really good for repair and healing. That's what they're focused on. And also, it is safe to use for cancer patients. So I can say that it's safe for everybody. What about you?
My recommendation for today is another skincare product. Yay, to fit the theme. It's Huxley Secret of Sahara Oil Essence. The reason why I like it is such a stupid reason. I like the scent. I like the smell of it. It has like a very subtle, musky, sweet sort of smell. Because like at the end of the day, my skin would sometimes be like super oily, but I've realized after using the oil, it's not as bad.
Yeah,
it gives me like a healthy glow throughout the day, which I really like. And at the end of the day, it's not like a sludge of oil on my face. So yeah, it's been pretty good.
That one's quite expensive, yeah, isn't it?
It is expensive. Yeah. So I bought it when I went to Korea. I think the conversion rate came out to be about $65 for that bottle. It was like one of my splurge buys.
Can I give you a tip as well with your face oil?
Yeah.
When you use foundation, try to mix a drop of it with your foundation.
Ooh. Ah, what does that do? Does it give you like more of a dewy, flawless finish? Or
so if you have, and even if you have like a really matte foundation that you feel like you can't use during winter, feel free to add like your facial oil. Just be careful of the ratio. Just always start with a drop and work your way from there, and just buff it on. Like, oh my god, it's gonna give you like a nice glass dewy skin. It's gonna look so amazing.
Wow, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Stern, for joining us on this episode. We have learned so much, and we're so in awe of your amazing knowledge of skincare and Korean yes. beauty. And yeah, just thank you for being like, thank you for sliding into our DMs, because yeah. you know, it was it honestly made our day, and I know that we're definitely walking away with a lot of good advice. So thank you so much for joining us.
No worries, my pleasure. You guys are so nice. Like, you guys look so approachable. So I'm like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm weird. Never done this before. I never slid into someone's DM before, but here we go.
Shoot your shot.
So thanks everyone for listening. I hope you guys learned something, a thing or two. I'm sure you did, because that was one very informative session. If you are interested and would like to hear more, please catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Castbox, and Google Podcasts. And if you could please subscribe and follow, that'll be greatly appreciated. And don't forget to leave us a review if you can. 5 stars only. No, just kidding. but yeah, no, honestly, any sort of feedback would be greatly appreciated and will help lift us up as well. We're also on the socials, mainly Instagram, and our handle is unapologetically AZN. But yeah, that's all for today. Thank you for listening. I hope you're having a fabulous day. And yeah, we'll catch you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.